And just, I guess, to echo lastly what Tim shared about this coming Saturday, big work party, got a lot to move, many hands make light work, and many hands saved my back. And so please, and Kathy and I would thank you for that greatly, but we appreciate it if you could come out this next, and even just a few hours next Saturday and be a part of our big work party coming up. Well, we are traveling through the Bible together. We've arrived at the book of the Revelation. We're in chapter 18 this morning. Let's turn to Revelation 18. If you're in need of a Bible this morning, we count it a privilege to give you one. These ushers have walked down the aisle to pass out the Bible. So raise your hand if you need one, and they'll pass it over. By the way, if you need to keep that Bible, there's no charge, of course, for it. It's all yours. Take it, wear it out, pass it on to someone who needs it. But for all of us now, let's turn in our Bibles to Revelation chapter 18. Revelation 18, verse 1. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sin, and lest you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen, and am no widow, and will not see sorrow. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. In chapter 16, we saw the completion of God's wrath poured out upon this Christ-rejecting world. Those seven last bowls of wrath of God's judgment. But then as we got to chapter 17, we saw that God brings a sort of parenthesis here. He sets before us some things that have been going on throughout this time of the tribulation period, and he does this to kind of give us the complete picture. Now in chapter 17, those of you who heard last week or you've studied that portion, we saw that chapter 17 was about God judging that which is called spiritual Babylon. And we saw it had to do with a one-world false religious system that will be in place during those first 3.5 years in particular of the 7-year period known as the tribulation that's yet to come. So we saw last week God's judgment of spiritual Babylon, that false religious system. Well, now in chapter 18, he continues his judgment. God continues his judgment of Babylon. Namely, in this chapter, he now judges what is called commercial Babylon. Now, as we're going to see, commercial Babylon is a corrupt commercial system by which man is pulled away from God. It's a system based on amassing wealth and believing the lie that materialism is the answer for the ache in man's soul. In short, it's a lot like our world today. But in the midst of all that, we hear a call. God calling his people. Look at verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. As it will be then, so it is today. For you see, commercial Babylon's allurement, its enticements, are active today. Yes, rampant in that coming day of the tribulation, but we see its tentacles, we see it active very much today. So God calls them, but he also calls us. Verse 4, come out of her, my people. That's why I've called our time together this morning. Come out of her, my people. Let's pray. Lord, we're rejoicing today. Lord, we see this work you're doing amongst us. Lord, we see just Paul and Cammy here. Lord, we see the Somervilles here. We see Joe going out, Lord. We're just rejoicing for the way you stir and move on our hearts. Lord, we see you moving in all our lives. You've drawn us to this place, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you for your love. Thank you for your love, which has given us your word. But help us, Lord, also to really understand that because of your love, you also warn. And in this portion, you're speaking of and you're warning us of the dangers of that which this world reverences, what it's all about. So help us this morning, Lord, to not brush it off, to not just take it in kind of intellectually, but Lord, challenge our hearts. What are we really about? What do we really look to? How do we handle these things you've blessed us with? Lord, speak to our hearts and help us go out of here and live out what you're showing us. And may it all be to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said, chapter 18 is all about judging that which is known as commercial Babylon. Now, what does it say about this God-denying economic system that's called Babylon? What's it going to be like? Well, verse 7 kind of captures the idea. Look at it again. It says, in the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure gave her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen and am no widow and will not see sorrow. That captures really the idea that this whole chapter sets before us, in that this is speaking of not just a city, it is that, it's going to be apparently a commercial city, but it's the system that goes out from there. This whole economic system that will be prevalent at that time, and it's so much prevalent today, but it's a system that glorifies herself, it says. As we saw about the religious Babylon, spiritual Babylon, so it is about commercial Babylon. And that is, self is the very center of it. And it's about self-glorification. Self on the throne, not God. Exalting self, looking to number one, being all about us. Thinking, it says about her, this commercial Babylon, that she thought she was the master of her fate. That's what it's saying. She goes, I'm queen, I'm boss, I'm in charge. And sorrow will never touch me. This is so powerfully, economically, thinking that I got it made. I got it locked in. She thinks she controls her destiny. So, in this chapter, we see that commercial Babylon, as I said, is an economic system that is against the principles of God. It's opposed to what God would have for people. Now, let me pause for a moment and be clear about something. This chapter is not a condemnation of making a living. It is not a condemnation of making money in and of itself. It is good and honorable to work, to derive an income, that you might put food on the table for you and your family, to have a roof over your head. That's not what it's addressing. That's not the idea. It's not a condemnation of prospering or owning nice things in and of themselves. But this is speaking about a system that is based on material things being our God. It's about believing the lie that in having things we'll find what we really need. It's about living for, coveting things. That's the warning. About living for things. See, it's a system that convinces people that life is about living for things. And so in that sense, it is indeed a religion in and of itself. Money, things, are many a person's true God. It's what they live for when they get up in the morning. It's what they think. If they just had a little more of, then they'd be okay. They'd have hope and peace and purpose and all. And so the warning, the danger set before us of this commercial Babylon. And of course, it's something we see that's very prevalent in our country today. Now, let me also say this. We all know what materialism is. It's what the other guy's about. Right? Covetousness is what the other guy does. oh, we just plan and save and we're wise. And I need those things. And I've got to have that one. And see, we justify it all. We're okay. Covetousness is somewhere above, beyond us. Materialism is somewhere beyond our motive. But don't do that. Don't write off right away and say, oh, that's other people. He's covetous. I'm just thrifty. I just plan really well. No, be careful. Because again, the question is, what's your driving passion? What's it really mean to you? What's that buck really? When you go shopping, what's the real motive? You really need it? I got to have it. Why? Are you trying to keep up with? Be better than? Are you buying into the somehow and having that thing? You'll be better? You'll feel that ache, that place in your heart? See, be careful. It is well said that Satan knows how to use covetousness to enslave people. And that's exactly the case. He'll take those things and he'll trick you and deceive you. And so we can say, oh yes, how nice this is. I need to live for God and all. But yet, in reality, find that too often we have the wrong motive in what we have and why we're after and all. And you can say, I'm not covetous. I'm not materialism. You don't realize how broke I am. You don't have to be rich to be covetous. Indeed, I find a lot of times those who don't have much can be the most money driven because they still believe the lie that if I just had more, then I'll be okay. Then everything, then I'll arrive. Again, looking for purpose and meaning, and money has become their God. We wouldn't say it, not consciously, but reality is for too many, it's the God. Why do we really go to the mall? What's really going on when we buy that thing? And so that's the challenge. We see here that this is a system, this commercial Babylon, in which people become convinced to live for more and more and more. And that in that thing, they will find what they truly need. Yet Jesus declares, you're only going to find what you really need in him. Jesus tells us clearly, Luke 12:15, and he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Oh, how nice. See, again, we say that, oh, that's, I think I'll put that on a plaque on my refrigerator. Emblazon it on our hearts. A person's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. That flies in the face of much of what our economy is built on. That flies in the face of most commercials on television that subtly are trying to tell you, just get this, buy this, have this. Then you'll be okay. Then you'll have arrived. Then you'll have peace. And joy. Now, we haven't read it yet, but let's now look at this commercial Babylon's destiny. Look at verse 9. The kings of the earth who committed fornication. Remember we saw last week, it's a word that means spiritual unfaithfulness. Looking to these things, looking to this system, in this case, that of God. The kings of the earth, the rulers who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her, will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for 1 hour your judgment has come. So yes, it's centered in a city. It's a literal location at that point in this tribulation period. We don't know. Some think it'll be the rebuilt Babylon. We don't know. Point is, it's going to be a commercial center. But it's not just the location, but it's the system rooted there and that has gone out into the whole world. It's that old commercial economic system that has rejected God and glorified self and has everything upside down in terms of how God would have it be. Well, it tells us here that as those who've gone with this way, as they look at what happened to her, as they look at the smoke and all of her burning, they stand there and they go, alas, alas. Oh, that great city of Babylon, that mighty city. In 1 hour, boom, it all came down. So here's the world standing and mourning for Babylon. It tells us, interestingly, that they stand at a distance for fear of her. Many suggest that perhaps that means because maybe Babylon, this actual center, will have been destroyed by, you know, maybe an atomic blast or something. In other words, people don't want to go near it. That's speculation. The idea is they stand afar for fear of her torment. They're afraid to come near. And how quickly did her judgment come? You know, back in verse 8, it said in one day. Then verse 10 here, it says 1 hour. Verse 17, it says it again, in 1 hour. Verse 19, it says, for in 1 hour she is made desolate. What's the idea there? That it's going to happen like that. Just, you think this recent economic thing kind of came on quick? No. This is going to happen in a hurry. Everything they thought was worth living for. They were so strong. We got it made. In 1 hour, just boom. Everything gone. Everything destroyed. And they stand there shaken to the core because what they lived for wasn't worth living for it. It wasn't worth building your life upon it. It looked so promising. Everybody else was doing it. And I'm out in front of the pack. I'm doing better than my neighbor. But boom. All down. Gone. And how sad it is. Look at verse 11. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. See, that's their concern. We've lost our whole, our money making, the whole machinery is broken down, it's fallen. What are we going to do? Look at verse 12. It tells us how affluent this whole system was. It says, merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, marble, verse 13, and cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat. So it's just all this affluence, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots, and bodies and souls of men. This gives us a very strong indication of how mighty and prosperous Babylon will be. But for all her splendor, for all of her wealth, she couldn't hold back the judgment of God. Look at verse 14. Here's a sad statement. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you. And all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. Look at that statement. What your soul longed for. What you had become so hungry for. Oh, you thought if you just had more and more. What your soul longed for. Now, gone. Gone for good, never to be recovered. It will not be worth living for. Come out of her, my people. What an important admonition and warning to us. Well, just to summarize, verses 9 to 19 are about the world's reaction to Babylon's fall. And the world is mourning, grieving. We lost our income. But what's heaven's view of all this? Verse 20. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. How important it is we get and keep God's perspective on things, on the material things and all. Get God's perspective. You'll never regret it. God sees the abuse of employers upon employees. God sees the unjust things done to make a buck, the selling of bodies to make a buck, the dominating, the enslaving of people to make a buck. He sees the deciding factor in so many people's lives and in nations. You know the political process. What do they say? What often do you hear when election time comes around? It's the economy, stupid. And that's what they say. People vote the economy. What's that really mean? They vote their pocketbook. They say it's the economy. But what's it really mean? I'll vote for whoever's going to put more money in my pocket. We don't vote for righteousness, righteous rulers and all. Who's going to favor my group? Who's going to give me some benefits here? And they're all into the commercial interest, and that's spiritual. Babylon, nations, there are companies today, you know this, there are companies today that are bigger than some nations. And those nations knock on the doors of those companies, and they'll pander to them, give us the money. And so nations and companies enslaving and dominating, and just, it's wrong. And God sees it. And for 1 hour, boom, judged. Look at verse 23. See, verse 21 tells us that this angel takes a big old millstone, throws it in the ocean, and says, that's what Babylon is going to be like. You throw a rock. You ever throw a rock out of the pond? There's some ripples for a while. And then what happens? Water covers over it and it's gone. Never to be seen again unless you go rummaging for it. The point is, that's the idea. It's going to be thrown out in the ocean and gone, never to be recovered. And why? It goes on to tell us some things about it, but look at verse 23. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore, speaking about Babylon. And the voice of bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you anymore. Now here it is. Here's why it all happened. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorcery all the nations were deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and saints and of all who were slain on the earth. God saw it. God saw the sorcery. People were drugged by the influence of money. Nations selling out. Companies going about things in wrong ways. And God sees it. And he goes, this is why it happened. Now again, this is the tribulation period, of course. The church is out here by then. But that which we see going to be going on then, again, we see the tentacles in our society today. You know that. That it's been going on for a long time. This whole idea of you can have what you really need through things. The false systems of this world will and do fall. Come out of them is the call. Be about Jesus. You'll never regret it. So, we've looked at the chapter. We see the plain declaration that judgment is about to fall on commercial Babylon. So God calls his people out of her. Again, verse 4. Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues. But this isn't the first time we've heard God call like this, is it? The call to come out of her. God has said this before. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. He says, therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So we see earlier, Paul has spoken to believers of his day and ours, that same idea. Come out from among them. Now, those verses themselves are quotes from the Old Testament. They're quotes from Isaiah 52 and Ezekiel 20. So the idea here is we see in our text for this morning that isn't the first time that God has called out his people. In our text this morning, the direct context is he's calling people to literally come out of Babylon and then by extension to come out of that system of living and all. In the 2 Corinthians text, God is calling believers in that age, which is still our time also, to come out from among those influences that are not of Jesus. That's that passage about not being unequally yoked and all. Don't fall to the influences that are not of God. Come out from those things. Be separate from those things. So it's been the call for God's people, both Old and New Testament. See, in both cases, this calling out is for a reason. Why does God call them out? Because he loves them. And he loves us. And he knows a life built on things, materialism, will fall, will not stand, won't really meet. It won't really be the things that the world and the enemy and all tries to tell us that it is. Materialism. To live for things is a lie. And so the call to come out is always to protect God's people. To deliver his people. It's not God trying to keep you from something good. He just doesn't want me to have a new car. No, it's to keep you from that way of thinking about always having to have something more. It's to keep you from the bad. See, the enemy tries to convince us God is trying to keep us from something good. Remember he tried with Eve. When Satan challenged Eve, oh God, you won't die. God just doesn't want you to be smart like him. He's trying to keep something good from you. So she sees the apple, goes, oh, looks pretty good to me. And she eats it, and down we all go. It was for her good. God wasn't trying to keep something good from her. It was for her good for her to keep from it. And the same for us today. God doesn't want us to have a life based on what too often our lives are based on. And so there's that awesome, important challenge and encouragement to us this morning about what are we about? What do we live for? God knows the Babylonian way, this commercial Babylon, will not hack it. It will always fail us. They are doomed. So in his love, God says, come out from them. Well, what does it mean to come out from it? It means to no longer be influenced by it, to no longer go with that way of thinking. Don't buy into that advertising that suggests if you just had this, you'd arrive, that in this you'll be perfect. Don't buy into this world's way of thinking. So how do we come out today? We come out by having the right priorities. Have God's priorities, not the world. We come out by our choices. What do we do with our money? What place do things have in our lives? Now, if God should bless you materially, great. But the Lord says, if the Lord blesses you in that way, if your riches increase, he says, set not your heart upon it. But take what God has blessed you with and say, God, you really own it. You're just entrusting it to me. How do you want me to use it? How might I use it to bless somebody else or meet a need that you see or something? I'm just a steward of it, God. It's yours. See, that's the idea. Not, oh boy, I've arrived. Oh boy, just a little more. Then I'll be better. Don't buy into, there's a pun in there somewhere. Don't buy into the world's thinking on this. Be careful. Because ultimately, it comes down, we come apart by the affections of our heart. The purposes, the goals of our heart tell us what we're really about. Well, in verse 2, we read the proclamation that Babylon the Great is fallen, double stated for double emphasis. And so that tells us that this whole commercial system built on self and exalting self and all, this whole system and what it's about, that it will not stand. Now, to that, some may very well say, but look at what they offer. I mean, this is such promising stuff. The world offers such promising things. They can package it so well and state it so well. And it looks so good. And it certainly looks like if I just went with that way of thinking, that, oh, how much greater it will be and all. Do not be deceived, for God declares Babylon the Great is fallen. Babylon being not just a city, but a way of thinking about things and life and materialism and all. Because, see, Babylon plays into people's emptiness and convinces us of that lie. Babylon offers that water. Remember Jesus in the chapter 4 of John declared at the well there. He said, of the things of this world, he says, if you drink of the water of this world, you'll thirst again. And that's what this is talking about, the emptiness of it. So he says, Babylon's fallen. It will not stand. The idea is don't build your life on this way of being, this way of thinking. But they had so much to offer. Let's look at it again real quick. Look at verse 12. Look at what they have. Merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls. Man, look how good. No, Babylon is fallen. But look at it. Fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and the latest outfit and the greatest shoes and that suit that just looks so sharp. Come on, please. No, it's fallen. Every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, and fiberglass, or whatever your car is made out of, or anything else. Oh, no, look at it. It looks so great. No, Babylon has fallen, meaning, have a safe car, it's fine. But don't you think that that's what you need to fill that place in you? Don't you live for it? Don't believe the lie of materialism. But it looks so good. And cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil and frankincense. What's that just talk about? Different kinds of wealth and things you can accumulate. The finer things in life, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots, and bodies and souls of men. Make sure you see that. For Babylon is fallen. See, they use these things to exert power and control over people. They made merchandise of people, but they will be judged for it. And Babylon is fallen. So what's the Lord's call to them in the midst of it, and to us in the midst of the temptations and the false claims of this world? Come out of her, my people. Don't be about that anymore. Don't believe you're going to find it in that thing. Don't always have to have. Oh, you see people so enslaved to debt, and just so, it's just so, it's sad, because they bought into it. Somehow if I just had, people will like me more or something. I don't know. All the lies that get thrown out there, I'll find healing in it or something. Jesus said in Matthew 16:26, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Now, I don't know that any one person could actually gain the whole world. It could be possible. For one person to actually own all the property of the world, have every dollar, have every diamond, have everything in the world, I don't know. But if he could, he'd be a pauper if he had to exchange his soul for it. See, that's God's economy, where man has taken it and lives for the creation instead of the Creator, and believing they find answers in things and all. So God's call, come out. Why? So you don't get caught up in Babylon's sin, it says. That's why it's so important to settle the issue and decide to live an uncompromising life of obedience to the Word of God. And to take all that you have and say, God, use it, it's yours, but keep my priorities straight, Lord. Jesus lovingly tells us in Matthew 6:19-21, you know it, but important to remember. He said, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, please let me say this in love, but that's another one of those things we hear where you go, "Oh, yes. You know, that's just a warm and fuzzy verse. We like, yeah, oh, you're right. Let's just store up our treasures in heaven. What am I going to buy now? What can I have next? I might have some more money. I better pump up some more. Better get this account going here and that there. And I never have enough." Oh, but yes, no, I understand that I shouldn't be. And I should be storing up treasure. No, this isn't a little nice saying. It's a reality. You do it for here, and it's going to be short-lived, and it's going to fall. Do it for there, and it's eternal. Like I say, send it on ahead. Store up your treasures in heaven, where it gives Him glory. And you need to offer it up to Him. See, that's to be our attitude. The world, this age we live in, tells us to live for things. But it's on my heart. God's heart. I'm just passing it on. But I was so touched by this week. You know, the declaration here is that materialism is a lie. Last week, in chapter 17, it tells us John, when he saw spiritual Babylon and all, it says he was stunned. He was amazed. And as we read it, we too go, whoa, this false religious system persecuting true believers and all. Just, whoa. Well, you come into chapter 18 and it's still the same. I'm stunned at this because, I mean, this is our country in so many ways. And I just look at it and I go, Lord, help us all to make sure we don't get caught up in any of this. To buy into this way of thinking. What a ripoff it is. And yet how clearly He warns us. Materialism is a lie. This grabbing for and accumulating and thinking there's more and more and more. this making things a god in the end. What a loving warning. It is a lie. So what's the call? Come out, he says. Come out and live for Jesus. I'm going to invite the worship team up to wrap us up this morning. And I just want to invite you, if you need prayer this morning, our prayer partners will be here by the prayer room, and they count it a privilege to pray for you. Maybe something stirred in your heart you'd like some prayer about. Go get prayer. Maybe there's something going on in your life or you know coming up in this week you'd like prayer for. Go get prayer. Don't wish you'd gotten prayer and miss out, but come get prayer and let it be a reality. I love answered prayer. I get to see it time and again as a pastor, but not just because I'm a pastor, but because anybody seeks him, God's at work. So discover that in your life and get prayer here if you need to. Well, we press on. It promises to be an awesome week around here. Jump on board. We get the studies up and running Wednesday night again. All kinds of great things happening. Come be a part of it. And as we do, let's let the Lord search our hearts day by day. What gets me out of bed? What do I live for? What am I using? How am I using what he's blessed me with? Am I in a more mode? Why am I going by the mall? Has Walmart kind of become Stuff Mart? You know, like that old cartoon that talked about that. Just be careful. More. Get nothing off making a living. But let's let God search our hearts. Avoid the lies of materialism. Come out of her. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your love. You who designed life, tell us what it's about and what it's not. And you who love us, you see the deceptions out there, and you do indeed warn us. You see how people get duped, and so you call us. Come out of her. Don't be about those things. Instead, you invite us and give us the privilege to live for you. Help us do just that now, Lord. And as we do, Lord, when it's all said and done, we just pray that you will have gotten all the glory. So we ask you to lead us now, and we thank you that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.